For centuries, the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire fought each other. Battles after battles. Two superpowers of their time. Thousands and thousands of casualties on each side. For centuries, until something happened in the 7th century. In the 7th century, from 612 AC to 622 AC, a good decade, the Persian Empire started to get a string of victories, defeating the Romans battle after battle, taking over land, taking over positions that were strategic that left the Roman Empire without a strategic offense. The Persian Empire came and took over the Caucasus, Armenia, Northern Arabia, all the way into Jerusalem, and they marched into North Africa and took Egypt as well. So at 622, they were at the peak of their empire and their power. The Roman Empire during this time begged them, not once, twice, begged them to please, let's sign a peace treaty. Kisra, the emperor of Persia, was like, no, I'm loving this, I want more land. And so the Persian Empire brought the Roman Empire, this superpower, to its knees. It brought its economy into shambles. It brought the whole empire brought the whole empire at the brink of destruction. It was about to end and collapse from 612 to 622. During this time, when the Persian Empire was getting victories and defeating the Roman Empire, Allah subhanahu revealed certain verses. He says, Alif Lam Mim, غلبت الروم في أدنى الأرض وهم من بعد غلبهم سيغلبون في بضع السنين. Allah subhanahu then reveals in this context, with this backdrop, that the Romans have been defeated in the nearest land to the Arabs. And they, after their defeat, will be victorious. في بضع السنين, within 3 to 9 years. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when these verses were revealed, he walked out in Mecca, because remember, they were still in Mecca. They did not make hijrah, because these verses were revealed. It's a Mecki surah, meaning it was revealed before hijrah. And we can pinpoint the date, because the date of the hijrah, the migration of the Prophet Muhammad from Mecca to Medina, was at 622. And these verses were revealed before that. So you can get an idea that these verses were revealed when the Persian Empire was at its peak, and the Roman Empire was almost about to collapse. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu walks out and recites these verses of the Quran. The pagan Arabs laugh at him. This guy's nuts. He thinks that the Romans are going to come back. Their economy is in shambles. They're at the brink of destruction. They're begging for a peace treaty. This is not happening. To such a point that the pagan Arabs were so confident that this will never ever happen, to show you the environment at that time, that the historical situation at the time, they started to bet the Muslims, they started to wager on this, that it is impossible that within 3 to 9 years the Romans could ever come back. And of course, this is before gambling and betting was made haram or prohibited in Islam. But Allah subhanahu talks about the extent of the defeat. He says, "Ghulibatir Rum." When this verse was revealed, the Romans were defeated. Everyone knew the Romans were defeated. So why is Allah telling us something that's already known? In the Quran, we don't find anything that is mentioned without a purpose or mentioned where people already know about it. So Allah subhanahu says, غُلِبَتِ الرُّومِ, because he's talking and going to explain the extent of their defeat. Yes, they've been defeated geographically, which we can see. Yes, they have been defeated economically and financially, which we can see. But then Allah continues to show the extent of the defeat. He says, "Fi adna al-ardi," that they're defeated. He didn't mention the Caucasus or Armenia or Mesopotamia, or even to the point that the Persian army marched into the area which is Turkey today and reached the doorsteps of Constantinople. which is the capital of the Byzantine Empire. Allah doesn't mention that. He says, "Fi adna al-ardi," because ghulibat al-Rum, he's explaining the extent of the defeat. Yes, geographically. Yes, financially. "Fi adna al-ard," the closest land to the Arabs that was under Roman control, was the area called Asham. Asham includes Palestine, Lebanon, Syria, this and Jordan, this area. And so the Persian conquered Jerusalem. They took their Christian relics back to Persia. So Allah's talking about the extent of their defeat is even that their spiritual morale is very low at this point, that their spiritual capital has also been conquered. There's, as people would look at this and see that it's impossible. It's impossible for the Romans to come back. But then Allah subhanahu says, "Fi adna al-ardi wa hum min ba'di ghalabihim sayaghlibun." But after they defeat, they will be victorious. And so Allah subhanahu then mentions the exact time period between 3 to 9 years. And then Allah subhanahu pinpoints it with another event where it reconciles, where Allah subhanahu says, وَيَوْمَ إِذٍ يَفْرَحُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. And in that time, when the Romans start becoming victorious, that is the time when the believers will also be happy and rejoice. And so we know that 622 was the Hijrah, and that starting from 624, the Romans started to turn the tide of the war. They started gaining their land back. Their economy started to turn around, which was baffling everyone. And in that same year, 624, Allah subhanahu gave victory to the Muslims over the pagan Arabs in the Battle of Badr. وَيَوْمَ إِذٍ يَفْرَحُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. And on that day, the believers will rejoice and be happy because of the victory of the Battle of Badr. So we have a pinpoint, a date when that happens. And Allah subhanahu says, وَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ غَلَبِهِمْ سَيَغْلِبُونَ. That they, after their defeat, will be victorious. Not only is this a prophecy that the Roman Empire will come back and be victorious, but between these two superpowers, the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire, which empire will outlast the other? Allah subhanahu gives us the answer in that very verse. وَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ غَلَبِهِمْ سَيَغْلِبُونَ. هُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ is starting with an ism, which is a jumla ismiya, a nominal sentence. It's not a jumla fi'liya. It's not a verbal sentence. And in al-balagha, when you have a choice where Allah subhanahu could have said, sayaghlibun, that they will be victorious, starting it with a verb, but he didn't. He started it with an ism, with a noun, because in al-balagha, when you start a sentence with an ism, it gives you additional meaning. The additional meaning is al-thabat, constancy, and being there for a long time. So when Allah subhanahu said, وَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ غَلَبِهِمْ سَيَغْلِبُونَ, He is telling us another prophecy that the Roman Empire will outlast the Persian Empire, and that's exactly what happened in history. Why are these prophecies in the Quran, in the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? After mentioning this, what could be seen as an impossible prophecy, Allah subhanahu mentions the verse, أَوَلَمْ يَتَفَكَّرُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. Where Allah subhanahu talks about the reason of mentioning this prophecy is that it should cause us to think that if the Quran defied all odds, all the statistics on the ground that said the Roman Empire would not come back and spoke the truth about a future event, that Islam can predict the future, then it means it should start to cause you to yatafakkar, to think. أَوَلَمْ يَتَفَكَّرُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. Do they not then reflect on themselves? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not created the heavens and the earth and whatever is in between them in vain, without a purpose. But He's created them bilhaq, in truth, and for a limited time period, which makes us question, what is our purpose of life in this world? So these prophecies, yes, they establish the veracity of the Quran and the Hadith, but also it's there to enable us to submit to the Creator of the universe. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فَإِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد. The prophecies that we find in the Quran and the Hadith, many of these prophecies are not like prophecies that we find in other books and other places where you have ambiguous, vague prophecies that can have 1,000 interpretations that can be applied to 1,000 different events. The prophecies that we are quoting today are specific prophecies with details that pinpoint time, as we mentioned with the Roman conquest, pinpointing it with the Battle of Badr, pinpointing it before Hijrah when it was revealed. These prophecies mention the empire's name. It's not a great empire will one day become victorious. It could apply to so many different empires, but it clearly states Ghulibat al-Rum, and it talks about the Romans. And the second thing that these prophecies do, that they blow your mind. They defy odds. They attack what seems to be impossible at that time. Just like the Romans, it seemed impossible from all avenues that they would ever come back. But it blew everyone's mind how the Romans came back. And thus, many people became Muslim just by that prophecy that was mentioned in the Quran. Just like another prophecy where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the hour will not begin hatta ta'udu ardul arabi murujan wa anhara, that the hour will not commence, will not start until the land of the Arabs goes back, returns to being a land of gardens and rivers. Now imagine when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying this, a man standing in the scorching heat in the desert, in a desert where you can't even see water as far as the eye can see, that someone there is saying that this piece of land here, the Arabian Peninsula, will go back to being a land of gardens and rivers, they would laugh. But today, and I saw this myself with my own eyes, a time when you saw the deserts, the desert areas in Mecca and Medina that were purely sand, and then in the early 2000s, you started to see some plant life. And now it has increased a lot, where there's also now water being seen. And so this is defies all our odds. That how in this place, this desert, could it turn to be a place of gardens and rivers? And not only that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ta'udu," it will return, meaning that one time in history, this land was a place of gardens and rivers. How would the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam know? He was not a geologist. He didn't dig up the fossils to show evidence and see proof that this was once a place of rivers and gardens. But today, science confirms that many, many years ago, it was a place of gardens and rivers, and it turned to a desert. And today, we're seeing it turn back to a land of gardens and rivers. Like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked about the same area, about the group of people, that one of the signs of the hour is that antara al-hufatal uratal alat ar-ri'a ash-sha'i yatatawaluna fil bunyan, that you will see Bedouins, you will see people who are barefooted, who are naked, who are poor, who are shepherds in the desert, Bedouins, they will compete one another in building the tallest buildings. And today we have the tallest building in the world in that area. And we see here that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said yatatawaluna al-bunyan. Yatatawaluna means the height, going up. But you can also use it metaphorically to mean length. Like you can say tala umru, that his age or his life is long, right? And so we see that the extension is not just going up, but we also see in this area of people building islands on water. So the construction is extending both horizontally and vertically. But at that time when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, people were like, how is this even possible? How could this be when we're seeing desert, we're seeing no raw materials here, we're seeing poor people? Not only at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you go back only 100 years, you could not even find people could not even find food to eat. That's how bad the situation, the poverty was. And today, we see this prophecy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam come true. Again, a prophecy that defies all odds. But Islam continues to predict the future. And now there's a prophecy that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, which is recorded in At-Tirmidhi, and it's a Sahih Hadith, which today will blow our minds, which we may think defies all odds. How can this even be true? And then one day when it becomes true, we realize that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with greater certainty, that he's as-sadiq wal-masduq, he's the one who speaks the truth. Where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the hour will not be established until your shoelaces speak to you, until the bottom of your whip will speak to you, until your thigh will speak to you and inform you what your family did after you left. Defies all odds. It's something that we cannot even imagine. Is this going to happen through AI? Or is it actually going to happen that the human being adapts in a certain way due to some kind of phenomena when now our organs and limbs will start to speak? The Prophet Muhammad SAW in the same hadith said that predators, lions, and hawks will start to speak with human beings. Again, like when the prophecy of the Roman conquering the Persians seemed to be something far off. Like the prophecy of the Bedouins building tall buildings or gardens and rivers coming back to the Arabian Peninsula was seen as something impossible. Today, this hadith may seem as something impossible, but it's the truth from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because the prophecies of in Islam, a lot of them defy our intellect and then come true. I ask Allah subhanahu to give us iman and yaqeen and certainty to understand that these prophecies that have come true and that will come true are only there to establish the veracity of the Quran and the veracity of the hadith and the statements of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab an-nar. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma innaka antal wahhab. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa aqim as-salat.